This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling, we ask callers to please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guest on Speak Your Peace, well, he's the opening act today. KODI Sports right. Director and voice of the Cody Athletics, Tim Anderson. We got you in today, Tim. I've been talking about this for about a week now to let people know what's happening. But we started with 16 school board candidates. Mm-hmm. We're down to 11. And I had scheduled all of them on a Speaker Piece, but as they started dropping off, I had to reschedule. And one of them that dropped off late was scheduled in this position today. And I just couldn't get anybody to fill 30 minutes. So gotcha. I went to our next best choice, Tim Anderson, to fill the 30 minutes. He's not running for school board.
No.
So I should remind everybody, the phone lines are going to be open while Tim's here. But when we get the school board candidate on, I'm not going to open the phone lines. That's because one or two phone calls could take up an entire interview, and I want to be fair to all the candidates. So if you have any questions or comments, call in the next 20 minutes. And if you want to ask Tim a question or whatever the case might be, Tim will be able to answer. So I guess, Tim, we got you on for the first half hour here. I guess you can give us kind of an update of Cody Sports. I know the Bronx have a big game this weekend.
Huge game. Going to play Star Valley over there in Afton on a Friday evening. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff. Yes, that is 2 hours earlier than the normal 7. You know, you might get a 6 o'clock kick in there, depending on the team, the travel situation. Sometimes in the playoffs, they like to go at 6 for whatever reason. 5 o'clock, to me, is a typical Star Valley kind of thing. It's a typical wrench in the system. Obviously, Afton is not an easy place to get to from most of the state. I know that, you know, going back to all the reclassification and the budget stuff, they're trying to cut down on travel costs and overnight stays and whatnot. So that probably factors into the whole deal as well. It's still going to be a long day for the Cody Bronc football team. I mean, they're going to have to get over there for a 5 o'clock kick, and then they're going to have to drive back. I don't know what the park situation is right now, so that could mean they have to go the long way through DuBois, but big game. Star Valley's got the lead in the conference right now. They've won all three of their league games, and Cody is in a two-way or a three-way tie for second with Jackson and Evanston. They've lost to Jackson. They've beaten Evanston. So the best I can figure it, this could mean a home playoff game or not.
Wow, okay.
For Cody, anyway. If the Bronx can get to 3-1 and obviously have a tiebreaker with Star Valley, depending on what happens between Jackson and Evanston, does Powell play Jackson this weekend? I can't remember. Powell's got to play Jackson in the next 2 weeks. Evanston, I believe. Actually, I think it's Powell. Actually, I think Jackson does play Evanston this week. So depending on what happens elsewhere, this could go a long way to securing not just a playoff berth, but, you know, whether or not Cody gets to be at home for the opening round in a couple of weeks.
Now, who are the teams that Star Valley has beaten in the conference?
Oh, and
they beat Jackson,
okay,
who Cody lost to, right?
They beat Jackson last week. That was an upset, at least in terms of the polls. I mean, Star Valley has dominated that series over the years. And Jackson was cruising along, but for whatever reason, lost 32-14, I think was the final. That's after Star Valley had been in Powell the week before and only won 14-7 and kind of had to come back in the second half to do it. So I'd like to get Coach Matt McFadden's thoughts on the Braves over the past 2 weeks. I actually called, so Green River was the other one. So Star Valley has beaten Green River, Green River, Powell, then Jackson. I even want to say, and I can't remember where I saw this, that Green River Star Valley game a few weeks ago might have been a 1 o'clock game.
1 o'clock?
I don't know how that happens.
Is that on a Friday?
I thought I saw that somewhere. So
hey,
anyway,
kids get at school early, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Now, Green River's got one of the relatively shorter trips up to Star Valley. So I don't know. It's just interesting the way that they schedule things over there. It's a huge game. It's obviously a place where the Bronx have had more success than they have at home against Star Valley. So I feel good about that. I wonder which team is going to show up for both sides. You know, Cody is having a good season. Didn't show up really in Jackson, at least got off to a slow start. Had major penalty issues against Powell, but still won that game. Looked good against Evanston. Did face a couple of adversarial type situations in that game. So I'm hoping they show up again. Star Valley is a team that supposedly lost just a ton of talent and seniors, and they played three Idaho schools to open the year, and they lost two games, two of those three.
Hmm.
And I know that their quarterback and their running back was injured in that first part of the season. So it sounds like they're relying on a lot of backup players at skill positions, and I'm just curious how good Star Valley actually looks, and like I said, what Cody team's going to show up.
Now I'm interviewing Tim Anderson for the first half of Speaker Piece. Coming up at 9:30, candidate for Park County School District Number 6 Board of Trustees, Allison Winkler, will be joining me. She's one of the school board candidates, so we'll talk to Allison here at the bottom of the hour. Tim, volleyball, they're about ready to end their season. I mean, volleyball season's ending, but their team's doing pretty well, right?
I didn't bring my schedules in with me, but... What is it? 19-2, I believe.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, absolutely.
The only losses are a couple of conference losses. They've got 4A West Conference North Quadrant rematches with Kelly Walsh on the road Friday, and Rock Springs at home Saturday. And then next week will be the last week of the regular season for volleyball. Powell's going to be here on Tuesday, and then over the weekend they'll be down in Riverton, and then regionals the following week, I think, are in Rock Springs. But yeah, it's going well for the volleyball team. I hope that whatever they do over the next week or two here, they can win the matches they need to win to go to state the week after.
You know, I think, as you said, the problem, I think you've said this before, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the obstacles for the volleyball team has been when they get postings comes around, they just have struggled to get over that hump.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they've put together pretty good regular seasons, above 500 records, and then gotten to regionals, and I want to say, I don't know how many years in a row, that they've won their first round game, and they've been in a spot to just needing one more win to qualify, stumbling, and then ultimately just being eliminated shy of where they needed to be. And maybe I think last year I was in Buffalo for that first round playoff game, and I think at regionals we were up 2-0, I want to say, on Star Valley for a winner goes to state game, mm-hmm. and wound up losing that match. So they've been in those spots where they've played all right during the regular season, then for some reason at regionals just haven't been able to win that one match they needed to get there.
You know, I want to go back to the Bronx football team for a second. Watching this team play through first few weeks of the season, Tim, or almost the season is almost pretty much completed. But any comparisons or differences are you seeing at this point compared to last year's state championship team?
The one that I see is a team that is coachable and responds to, the coaching and responds to the motivation. Coming into the season, after a state championship year in which, Cody went on that amazing playoff run, we thought that they should be a contender, and there was a period there in the middle where, it just wasn't looking good. And then all of a sudden they kind of, lived up to their potential, I guess you could say. So coming into the season, I didn't really want to classify it as a rebuilding year. I just sort of held back any expectations, to be honest with you, and I've been impressed with what I've seen. The Jackson trip didn't work out, and that was a disappointing game to watch and call, and there were frustrating moments in Powell with all the penalties last week. But I just see a team that whatever the message happens to be that week, more often than not they get it and they execute. And that's not just maybe from the start of the game, that could be, during the game itself. Like when Evanston came to town for homecoming, Devils went down the field 75 yards or whatever it was in 5-6 plays and scored a touchdown. And it was like, wow, okay, I guess we haven't quite rebounded from our loss in Jackson. And then Cody scored 21 in a row and led at halftime. And then Evanston got within a point. And had they not missed an extra point, a PAT, the game would have been tied at 21 early in the second half, and then Cody ran away with it from there. So I see a team that responds to the coaching, and I think that's kind of exactly what happened last year in the playoffs. Is, hey, look, we made it in. We got through a tough part in our schedule where we played Star Valley and Green River back-to-back, and we had some health problems and injury problems. We got over that, and then they kind of flipped a switch at playoff time, and I see a team that – you know, that remain, that part of it remains to be seen. But I see a team that, that does respond well to its coaches.
Who are some other schools maybe that Cody doesn't see because they're not in their conference that are doing well that, that could be some obstacles as the playoffs approach?
Well, if Cody doesn't beat Star Valley on Friday, then I think we're probably looking at a road playoff game. So I'm trying to think of where the East stacks up. Torrington is you know the class of that side of the state. So they're going to finish number one as best I can tell. Number two, I don't know, could be Douglas. I think Douglas is probably the next of the best group. Riverton is winless on the year. Lander is below average. Rollins is below average. I think Cody might have knocked out the Rollins quarterback because they just haven't. They haven't really done anything since Cody played him.
Hmm.
I don't know how good they were to begin with exactly. But, you know, you've got Riverton, which is winless. Like I said, Lander is below average. Rollins below average. Warland is probably average at best. So the top two teams on the other side seem to be Torrington and then Douglas. And if Cody winds up, you know, a third or a fourth seed, we're probably headed over there to Douglas. I don't see the Bronx falling all the way to the four spot, although I guess maybe after this week we'll have a little better indication of what exactly is up for grabs.
So the four teams in the, Cody's conference would be Jackson, Star Valley, Cody, and who else would you say?
Oh, gosh. Well, the four playoff contenders?
Yeah, what'd you say?
Star Valley, Jackson, Cody, and probably Evanston. You know, Powell is not a bad team per se. They've just lost some close games. Green River has not been as good as I thought they were going to be. When we've played them over the last 2-3 years, their JV and freshman teams were really good, really fast, and scored a lot of points. And I just figured even after Green River lost a bunch of talent from last season, those younger kids are going to move up and fill those roles and take over fairly nicely. Now, maybe it has something to do with the new head coach and whatnot, but Green River just does not seem – they're on the out looking in like Powell is. So it's Cody, Jackson, Star Valley, and Evanston, and how you decide those seeds will be determined in the next couple weeks here.
Meanwhile, the University of Wyoming – almost could have, I mean, played a tight game at Hawaii last weekend. Almost maybe came home with a victory, but they're what 2-4?
They're 2-4.
They're under 500, yeah. And it's kind of where I thought they would be at this point, and I think you probably did too. But what do you think going forward for this team?
I went more with my heart, I think, in those predictions than I did.
You're being very optimistic, yeah. Tim Anderson.
Oh my goodness! what did we say earlier this week? Or I might have said it to somebody else. this is like a typical Wyoming pattern to me. Let's take the best aspect of their team, overhype it, make you think that they're going to be solid, and then that part of the ball, in this case the defense, doesn't live up to expectations. The other side of the ball, offense, doesn't produce anything, and I guess special teams is kind of a wash in there. But that's, to me, where the Cowboys feel right now is, you know, a lot of defensive accolades going into the season, but then they got torched by Washington State, they got torched by Missouri. They gave up over 30 to Boise State. And look, those are all good teams.
Yeah.
You know, two of those three are Power 5 teams, and then the other is your divisional conference favorite in the Mountain West. You know, but they play a close game against Hawaii last week, leading 13-10 with less than 5 minutes to go, and they give up a touchdown. So when they – and look, that's a small margin for error, I get it. But when they needed to step up and protect a lead, they couldn't do it.
Yeah,
and I noticed that a lot of the stories on the Cowboy State News Network this weekend are just things aren't going right for the offense. You know, they're going to open up the playbook and yada, yada, yada. Nico Evans, their running back, has done a great job. Unfortunately, their redshirt freshman quarterback, he can't throw very well. And
there's no Josh Allen.
There's no Josh Allen. last year, Allen's problem was he didn't have receivers who can catch the ball. This time, it sounds like the quarterback can't even get the ball to those guys. So I don't know. The offense isn't producing. The defense is having some troubles, more than you would expect from somebody or side of the ball that got a lot of accolades. And they find themselves below 500 and 0-2 in conference.
You know, and it might be a struggle. It looks, at least in my estimation, to get a bowl bid this year. They're going to have to get to 500. There's two games under 500 right now,
right.
So it's definitely an uphill battle for last 2 years, bowl bids for it'll be three straight years where they can do it, but I'm not sure they can.
Well, they're 2-4 right now. They're halfway through the schedule. They still have a bye week mixed in there, and they're in a tough part right now. They're going to go to Fresno State this weekend. And, you know, it's another road trip, obviously. And I said this going into the year, that this was a tough stretch.
Yep.
Boise State, the favorite, albeit at home, but Boise State nonetheless. Way out to Hawaii, which turns out to, I think, be better than people thought they were going to be. And then now they've got to go back to California for a Saturday night game after playing late in Hawaii the week before. And Fresno was I think, a fairly high projection in the West Division. And then what have they got the rest of this month? Well, they're going to come home for Utah State, I think. They're going to have Colorado State for the Border War. CSU is not a very good team, but Wyoming's not playing well, so that's a crapshoot. You know, San Jose State isn't very good. They're going to have them at home in November. They've got to win 4 of 6 to become bowl eligible.
Which
at this rate, after losing 4 of 6,
difficult.
Not all that confident. And Saturday night, I hate to say it, but is probably trending toward another loss. So they could be 2-5 by Monday.
So if this team, if the Cowboys don't get a bowl bid this year, they don't get to 500, in other words, do you think this sets back the program? I mean, because they seem like, I'll tell you what, they got two bowl bids. They won a bowl game last year.
Yeah.
They had a first-round draft pick in Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. So everything was really, the momentum in the University of Wyoming football program was really going forward. If they don't get a bowl bid this year, does it, we go back to square one? Or what do you think?
I'm going to say no, because I like Craig Bohl and I like what he's doing. And you've got to give them some, I don't want to call it an excuse, but you've got to realize that it's still sports. And it's still the University of Wyoming. It's not Boise State, that is pretty darn consistent, on the verge of top 25 every year and a bowl team and stuff like that. Wyoming is trying to get to that point, as I've said over and over. So I think there are going to be years like this where, you know, you have pieces in place and, you know, you're going in the right direction, but then something happens and it just doesn't work out. I don't know why the defense isn't playing as well as it could have, you know, or was projected to. I don't know why this redshirt freshman quarterback, who was picked as a starter over a pretty much a career backup, but a guy who'd been in the program and, mm-hmm. and had to fill in for Josh Allen on a couple of occasions when Allen got injured. But it just hasn't worked out at this point. I don't know why, but you've got to account for that in sports every once in a while.
Do they make that switch at quarterback, you think?
They might. And I've been wondering about that. I think the Smith guy, Nick Smith, their backup, who, credit to him, I believe he's got his degree already and he's going for a master's. He's just finishing out his eligibility. With some transfer rules in the NCAA nowadays, he could have actually left, I think, especially with a degree already. I think there's a stipulation where if you've graduated, you can go somewhere and you don't have to sit out a year. So he decided to stay. It didn't work out for him in terms of a starting position, but I think he might have thrown one pass last week in Hawaii. I don't know what the circumstance was. Like, I don't know if he came on late and had to put it up in the air once or whatever. But, yeah, I could see a change. You're going to need something to spark your team at some point. And if it's not this weekend and they lose to Fresno and then they're coming home for, what is it, Utah State the week after for homecoming, yeah, I could see a change.
We got about 4 minutes left before I get to school board candidate Allison Winkler. Tim, who do you think the best team in the Mountain West is? Were you surprised Boise State stumbled against San Diego State?
Yes and no. Okay. I don't think San Diego State was as highly projected this year as they have been in years past, and that game wasn't Boise. So, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. On the other hand, San Diego State's got a good football program. So for them to go in and win that game is not a complete shocker.
Is Hawaii legit?
You know, I would like to look at the polls this week because Hawaii was getting votes in the AP. And
oh, they
Boise,
were.
Yeah, they were. They weren't ranked. Boise's been hovering around the top 25. They were ranked in one of the polls when they played Wyoming. Might have moved up a spot. I don't know where they're at the moment, especially after the lost SDSU. But, you know, I think Boise, Fresno, and then after that you've got maybe Hawaii, maybe San Diego State. I think you still have to zoom in on Boise.
I want to get your thoughts in the last couple of minutes about the Rockies, who you know, despite their not too well showing in the divisional series against the Brewers, they didn't score many runs, got swept. Another pretty good season for a team that you and I talked about a few years back. Was would they ever be a playoff team playing in Coors Field?
Yeah, great season. And I say great because exactly the way you put it there, that's a team that is kind of just, you know, hovered around mediocrity in the National League West, with the Giants winning those three World Series in five seasons, the Dodgers spending all kinds of money and you know, building themselves into a championship contender. For Colorado to you know, especially finish the regular season strong, force that 163rd game, even though they lost it, win on the road in the wild card against the Cubs, and then for whatever reason just run out of gas against the Brewers. I still think it was a good year. When Bud Black took over, I was not sure. Bud Black was a longtime manager of the Padres, and they were never anything special.
That's right.
As far as
it's been a while since the Padres were.
Right? I mean, I think Bruce Bochy, the Giants manager, managed San Diego when they went to that World Series against the Yankees in 98 or whatever, and then Black came after, and they never really did anything. So the hiring of Bud Black, to me, was not inspiring, per se. But he had his best record as a manager this past season. So, again, they've got to re-sign the core of their group, and they've got to build on their success to not only re-sign those guys, but hopefully attract another, you know, few players.
Okay, Tim, hey, thanks for filling in the first half
of speaker. Course.
Appreciate it. And if you want to write Tim's name in the ballot for school board.
No.
Okay, there. You said no, so don't do it. And anyway, Tim, thanks again.
You're welcome.
Okay, and that will do it for the first half of Speaker Piece. Stay tuned. Will be my first of 11 school board candidate interviews. Allison Winkler will be joining us. Stay with us.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Winter is coming. Are you ready? This is Spencer Barton at Wyoming Sprinkler. We're gearing up for the winterization season. Don't let those pipes freeze. Let us come and secure them for winter. Our professional technicians are trained and ready. We guarantee our winterization and are here to serve you. Call Wyoming Sprinkler at 587-6870. A friendly reminder, if you have a pump, don't forget to drain it before the freezing temperatures.
You've been waiting for the perfect time to purchase a new camper at the best price. Well, opportunity is knocking right now at Wyoming's largest RV dealership with the largest inventory sell-down you will see. Opportunity is knocking at Midway RV for you to purchase a new camper at the absolute lowest price in the West, guaranteed. Opportunity is knocking at Midway RV for you to purchase a new camper with door-to-door delivery. Opportunity is knocking at Midway RV for you to purchase a new camper with excellent financing terms. Opportunity is knocking at MidwayCampers.com.
Hey, John, want to go grab lunch?
Sure, but do you think we have enough time to go in and sit down somewhere?
We do now. QT's has a new express salad bar with no wait. We can be in and out quickly.
At QT's restaurant, come get a great value for lunch with so many options at one low price. Starting October 15th, they are featuring a hot daily entree, handcrafted soups, and a salad bar spread with over 30 unique toppings. QT's Express Salad Bar at the Holiday Inn in Cody. So fast, your lunch hour may even feel like a lunch break.
Hi, I'm Darren Dudrick, host of the award-winning talk show Speak Your Piece on KODI 1400 AM and 96.7 FM. Join me mornings 9 to 10, Monday through Friday, as I interview guests from around the city, county, state, and even the nation, and take your phone calls regarding a wide range of topics and issues that affect you. That's Speak Your Piece, weekday mornings 9 to 10, with rebroadcasts 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, only on KODI 1400 AM and 96.7 FM.
Grab your October calendars and get ready to fill them up with fun events from the Cody Rec Center. Festivities begin with Halloween Putt-Putt October 12th. The fun continues with the Pumpkin Plunge in the Pool October 19th. And don't miss Frightful Fun at the Halloween Carnival October 26th. These events are Fridays, 6 to 7:30 p.m. And what a better way to spread fall cheer than pumpkin decorating at Cody Regional Health Long-Term Care Center on Saturday, October 27th, 10 to noon. We hope you'll join us for all the festive fall fun. The Cody Rec Center, providing quality of life for a lifetime.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. This is a reminder to schedule your mammogram. Breast cancer is easiest to treat when it's found early. By the time there's a lump or other symptoms, the cancer may be at a more advanced stage. Women should get a mammogram every other year starting at age 50. Talk to your doctor about your risks. For information about free cancer screenings and other resources, call the Wyoming Cancer Resource Services at Cody Regional Health, 578-2702.
Wyoming Cancer Resource Services is funded by the Wyoming Department of Health. If you're in the market for a used vehicle, look no further than Garvin Motors in Powell. You'll find a great lineup of used vehicles at Garvin Motors with exceptional value, quality, and dependability. At Garvin Motors, their goal is to provide great prices in a relaxed, no-pressure atmosphere, making your car buying experience fun. Stop by Garvin Motors today and see their great selection, or visit them online at garvinmotors.com. You'll be glad you did. Garvin Motors, located on West Coulter Avenue in Powell.
We're making memories in Monster Lake Ranch. This is Chef DeWitt inviting you to dinner Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. The weather is cooling off, and where I come from, that means it's gumbo and oyster season. Come out and try a bowl of my award-winning gumbo and experience some of my oyster specials. They'll be going on from now until Christmas. We also have our signature steaks, shrimp and grits, and of course, bread pudding on a nightly basis. Monster Lake Ranch, just 10 minutes south of Cody, 587-5960.
LVT flooring is widely popular, and you can get the look of real hardwood, ceramic, or stone in a durable luxury tile. This is Kim Scheid, flooring manager at Haskell Furniture and Flooring, and we have an incredible selection of LVT. Its waterproof qualities make it ideal for high moisture areas like bathrooms, basements, and mudrooms. An incredible flooring selection for any room in your home. Haskell Furniture and Flooring. Visit us in Cody, Lovell, or at our expanded flooring showroom in Worland.
The Bighorn Co-op has locations in Riverton, Worland, Basin, Powell, Grable, and Buffalo to help you travel around our area. They've got everything a convenience store needs and so, so much more. From new tires and the guys to put them on to animal feeds and pet supplies. You can pick up supplies to fix your furnace or your plumbing. Fill your vehicle with gas and fill your tummy with treats. Stop by and see what the Bighorn Co-op has to make your day easier. The Bighorn Co-op in Grable, Basin, Worland, Riverton, Powell, and Buffalo.
A new roof is more than just shingles. It's getting a quality job at a competitive price. It's outstanding workmanship. It's McGee's Roofing, Northern Wyoming's premier roofing company.
McGee's? I thought it was Meg's.
No, it's McGee's.
Not Mr. G's?
No, McGee's Roofing.
I heard downtown it was McEasy's.
No, it's McGee's Roofing. Look, we don't care what you call us, as long as you call us at 899-1428 or go to McGeesRoofing.com, because anyone can be good, but only one can be the best.
Daybreak with Darren Dudrick.
Admit it. I mean, you were someone you knew owned the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. John Travolta's famous pose with the white leisure suit, arm extended, finger pointed to the sky. Nothing symbolizes a decade more as Travolta's pose does for the 70s. That's all you heard on the radio back in 1978. You flip on the radio and it's a song from Saturday Night Fever.
Daybreak with Darren Dudrick. Morning 6 to 10 on KODI.
No balloons, no free food, no giveaways. Instead, Wyoming's largest RV dealership is offering what you really want. The best RV clearance sale in the Bighorn Basin area. All 2018 inventory at Midway RV is priced crazy low.
How low?
How about a luxury Montana fifth wheel, $20,000 below retail?
How low?
How about an SUV towable hideout under 12 grand?
How low?
How about the number one selling ultralight camper for no money down and no payments until 2019? Come save big at Midway RV during our 2018 no-nonsense sales event. MidwayCampers.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Fees, candidate for House District 24. We're proud to call Wyoming the Equality State, but we have a ways to go to live up to our nickname. For starters, we need to provide all of our citizens access to health care, especially children. And let's make sure that men and women are treated equally in the workplace. I want to help.
Paid for by the campaign friends of Paul Fees.
Whether you're traveling for business or leaving for fun, your flight is just minutes from home at Yellowstone Regional Airport. There's two flights daily to and from Denver, Colorado. So you can spend more of your trip doing business or having fun, and less on driving or waiting in traffic, filling the car with gas, and so on. So enjoy shorter lines, complimentary Wi-Fi, and free parking. Just minutes from home at Yellowstone Regional Airport. FlyYRA.com.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today, I was visiting with KODI Sports Director Tim Anderson for the first half of the show. Now joining me is Allison Winkler. She's a candidate for Park County School District Number 6 Board of Trustees, which we'll refer to as Cody School Board. It's much more simpler. And I should mention that Allison, there is actually 11 candidates for Cody School Board. And Allison is one of three those candidates who are seeking the two-year unexpired term seat on the board. The other two are Nicole Tishammer and John McHugh. And there's the eight other candidates are seeking the 3 4-year seats. So there's 3 4-year seats and 1 2-year seat. And Allison is seeking one of the two, the 1 2-year seat. Allison, thanks for coming today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming down and giving us your take on some school issues that I'm going to ask you about. First, just to get the ball rolling out, Allison, tell us your background. Talking to you before we started here, you did attend Cody School. How long have you lived in Cody, and were you in the Cody school system through your entire school career before you went to college?
Yeah, definitely. Good question. So I have actually lived in Cody my entire life, born and raised, so 23 years here. I went K through 12 through our Park 6 district, which was amazing. I felt like I got a great education, and I've really enjoyed it.
So what elementary school did you go to?
Livingston.
So you went to Livingston, you went to the middle school, you went to the high school. What year did you graduate from high school?
2013.
So then you, I understand you went to the University of Wyoming.
I went off to Northwest first.
Northwest, and got an associate's. Okay. Mm-hmm. Northwest, got your associates.
And then I went to UW.
And what's your major in?
Physiology and zoology.
Okay. What inspired you to, major in that? Is there anything, just your interest, or what was your interest?
I've always liked science. And I really enjoyed that, and I also like the medical field a lot, too. And so with physiology, I got to kind of do the medical part, learn about the human body, but then I like animals, so that's why I did the zoology part as well.
And now you are working at Cody Regional Health.
I am.
Okay, what do you do there?
I'm currently a medical office specialist in the pediatric clinic, and I really enjoy it.
Now, do you have any siblings family or friends that are still attending Cody School?
I do. I have one sibling left in the school district.
And what is your brother?
It is, yeah.
And what grade is he in?
He's a senior this year.
Little brother. I'm sure he appreciates you calling him little, Allison. Yeah. He's a senior in high school.
But anyway, is bigger than me.
Okay. So you need to be careful. So anyway, I hope he's not listening to this. But anyway, so here we go. You graduated. You went to Cody High School. You got a great experience in the school system. So you more than anybody knows how the school runs. You were a student for all those years through the elementary school, through middle school, through high school. You got your degree at UW. You recently graduated, right? When was it? Your UW?
I did in 2018, so December. So just recently.
So you've been here since January.
Correct.
So it's 2017. Now you've been here all year, and so you got a pretty good idea what's happening in the school district. So what in the world would inspire you to run for school board? Why are you running for school board?
Oh, man, yeah, no, everybody asks me that.
Yeah.
The thought actually crossed my mind when I was in high school.
So this is kind of something you've been waiting for. Okay.
It has actually. Yeah, I was on the student council in high school all 4 years. I was student body president my senior year, and that really allowed me to do some cool things. I got to be on the curriculum committee my senior year. I got to do the calendar committee with the board of trustees. And in doing that, I had a passion for it. And it was something that I saw a need for a student perspective in. And also to bring like that balance and diversity. I mean, the board's always been great. They've always been diverse, but they're kind of lacking the student aspect and like the younger someone coming through the system, knowing like what's going on and how that can be added in.
Well, let me tell you that I personally think it's wonderful that you're being active and running for an office like this, because I think we need more young people to be involved, not only in school board races, but city council, Park County Commission. So I commend you for running for school board. I'm not so sure. You're brave, because school board can be, there's a lot of things that go on. There are a lot of heated issues, and we're going to talk about some of those. And would you say? So you lived in Cody your whole life, right?
Correct.
Okay. So what makes you qualified? A lot of people may think, okay, she just graduated from college, but why is Allison Winkler qualified for school board, do you think?
Man, I think I'm qualified for, first off, going through the school system. I did K through 12.
You know the schools then?
Yeah, I know the schools. I know what's going on. I was part of some of these issues when I was in high school, and I'm also recently out of school and college. So I got to see the product of our district and how the school system worked and how it helped me succeed in college. And now I'm in the workforce. And so I'm far enough out yet close enough to it, still having a sibling, that I feel it brings that new perspective. And it's just a great, piece of the puzzle, I think, that we can add.
Now, did you support Policy CKA? Of course, we just want to remind listeners, and everybody should know this by now, Policy CKA allows the school board trained staff are allowed to carry firearms if the school board says it's okay, and they pass policy CK, which that is. Did you or do you support policy CK?
You know, I definitely think the board did a nice job with policy CKA. They definitely researched it. They looked into things. And with our changing society, you know, it's better to be proactive than reactive. So at least we have a policy in place. It's not forcing anyone to do anything right now. So at this point in time, we have this policy and we can move forward and talk with the teachers and staff on their concerns. And we can always add to it and change it up a little bit. But as far as setting that policy in place, I have no problem with it. I think it was better that we have it and have something there than not.
So if you were elected to school board, Allison, and then you got a list of one or two or three or how many teachers or staff that were qualified to carry firearms, would you approve those applicants to carry if they pass the training, they pass the psych exam and so forth, would you approve them to carry?
Well, if they go through that entire process, I mean, it's an extensive, there's lots of training, there's all that background information. I mean, if they're passing it and they want to do that and they want to, I don't know, protect the students like that, you know, I probably would.
You would. So you would, for the most part, you would support, you would approve that, an applicant that was qualified and trained.
Yes, as long as they're qualified through that entire process in the policy.
Okay. Now, one thing that I think that's come up a lot, and this has been a really heated debate among the school district and the community, is, of course, reading materials, textbooks. How important is it, and how closely do you think should the school board monitor textbooks, other reading materials, to make sure there isn't any bias or political agenda? Do you think that's important for the school board to keep a close eye on that, so we don't get textbooks that come into our school system that have a political agenda or some bias?
Man, that is so hard, and I've seen it going through school. Just the textbook thing in general, it's gone from, I don't know, what I learned is slightly different than what, like, my siblings learned, which is odd to me. And as a school board, they're there to set the policies and everything, but they're also there to help the students prepare for college and life and be well-rounded. So, I don't know, that's a fine line, and I'm still kind of reading up on it and looking into it. On the textbooks, but if it comes down to it, yeah, the board probably does need to step in. I know right now they're doing different committees.
They have a committee, yep.
Mm-hmm, and they had all those textbooks on display in the library for the 45-day period so that the community could see them. And
would you at least say that if there is some kind of a textbook or reading material that may come across as some type of with some political agenda, you think the school board should come out and say, well, teachers should be required to teach both sides of an issue as opposed to just feeding the kids one side of the issue? You think both sides is very important to hear?
Oh, I think both sides is definitely very important. Going through college, I definitely had a lot of classes where teachers were very one-sided. And not that it's a bad thing, but at the same time, you need both sides. Like, their kids' brains are just shaping and they're taking everything in. And it's important that we're able to make our own decisions. So we need to have both sides of that. We need to be teaching both sides.
You might recall that the heated school board meeting that went into the midnight hours a couple years ago regarding the reading resources, there was a lot of controversy surrounding that. So, that's one thing that I think is important, that the school board does stay a part of that. Now, considering another question I have for you, Allison, considering the potential cost and possible unintended consequences of cutting from other existing sports and programs, would you support adding a sport such as girls softball at Cody High School at this time? If so, why? And if not, why not?
So this is definitely a big topic. I was a softball player myself, actually, in high school.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah, so I understand why these girls are wanting it and how it would be important to have as a high school sport. But at the same time, I know our seasons were summer. Every other school seasons were summer. It wasn't a school-sanctioned event.
That's right.
So I think if they go through the proper channels, which is probably with the Wyoming Sports Association.
Yeah, High School Activity Association, sure.
Then if they go through that and we can get something set up, it probably will not be within the next year, looking at it logically. But if it does come across, I would support it because I did play it.
You're a softball player.
Okay. Yes, I did play softball. And yeah, it's a good sport for these girls and it's enjoyable. We just got to have more schools in the state that are also doing it.
Does the cost concern you at all? Because again, to start a sport like that, it's a team sport, so it would be expensive. And with something like that, there's a potential of maybe affecting something else that's already in place. Would that concern you as a board member?
It does concern me because I was also a swimmer, and okay. So that's one place that cuts can be made because like the pool is so expensive, and that's an expensive sport to start up as well, and just even have. And so that would definitely need to be looked at because you don't want to take away from another sport that's already going and has people in it to start a new one. But at the same time, you want those students
to have an opportunity. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So as a board member, I'm hearing from you is that you would look and see exactly how much it would cost mm-hmm. and what kind of impact it would have on the overall picture before you made a decision. Or would you just flat out just make a decision that we'll add girls softball?
Oh, no. I would look at the entire picture.
Entire picture.
Without that, something's going to go wrong.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's what happens sometimes. It's as a school board member, it's important that you do that. Now, do you think I haven't heard this a whole lot on speaker piece from people I've had in on the show, but I've heard a lot of talk in the community about this. Do you think there's a morale problem among teachers and staff in the district? Have you heard that? And if you talk to people, Allison, and find out there is, if you were elected as a school board member, how do you think you'd fix something like that, a morale problem amongst teachers?
Right. I have heard that a little bit throughout the community, and I know a lot of people are talking about it. Morale is definitely something that is unfortunately never ending. You can't really please everybody all the time. But one thing we can do is we can always work towards making it better. And it's a team effort. It's not just going to be a board effort, but it's going to be all the faculty, all the teachers, all the staff, the board, the administration. It's going to take everybody to really fix it, not just the board itself.
So you think it's one of the it's something that the board would have to come to an agreement and find out a solution and to fix it, to get maybe the morale higher in amongst the school, teachers in the schools. The board work together to get this done.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be a team effort from everybody. Not just one single entity.
Is that something that, I mean, when you were in school, and again, you're a student, so you probably don't hear some of the stuff that goes on amongst teachers, but did you hear of anything like that, that the teachers weren't happy, they're leaving, anything like that going on when you were in school?
Man, not that I remember. No, I feel like the teachers were pretty happy. There probably was some that weren't too happy, and I know, like, the pay raises and stuff are always something they're looking at, and they were always going back to school for that, but man, I don't remember hearing teachers just leaving and switching out so often.
You know, another issue that was that rose to the surface some years back, it had to be probably about 10 years ago or so, and you probably remember this because you were in the Cody school system at the time, Allison, was the controversy regarding Northwest Family Planning being in the schools. And, you know, there's concern from people out there, and there's people that say, hey, wait a minute, this is with the new school board, maybe we should see if they want to come back in the schools. Would you support allowing Northwest Wyoming family planning back into the Cody school system?
See, I'm kind of neutral on that because it's like the textbooks. You need to teach both sides of everything. So you kind of need to be on that neutral ground, and we need to look at it. Are we teaching both sides of everything? And is having Northwest Family Planning coming in, is that going to help teach one side and also teaching the other side? I think that definitely needs to be looked at. I don't have a straight answer on that right now and a straight side that I've picked.
Sure.
But I'm definitely neutral ground and looking at that picture going, are we giving them opportunities to think for themselves? Or are we giving them both sides of everything?
Because the problem is a lot of parents don't want their child to be subjected to that kind of talk in the school system. They think it should be done at home. But then again, the other argument can be made. Some of the kids that are in schools don't have that type of home life where they're going to get that kind of education. So I guess that's where the controversy, I guess, mm-hmm. is. So you think this is another issue that you think that you would have to be weighed, I guess.
It would, definitely. Because, yeah, I agree with you. Some students might not have that opportunity at home. They might not learn anything at home about that. And so school's the only place they're going to get it.
You know, that said, how important is it when you have a situation that surfaces like, for example, Northwest Wyoming Family Planning coming into the school system that's proposed? How important is it to get the parents involved in that? I mean, of the kids. I mean, obviously, you want to let them know what's exactly happening,
correct.
And they can opt out and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely parents do need to be involved. They should be involved with their kids' life anyway. So that should be something that we're not forcing upon them. But at the same time, yeah, we definitely should let the parents know of the students, because they're the ones bringing their students to our community and our schools.
Now, another issue that was controversial at one time, it's kind of no longer because the school board decided to get rid of it. But do you think, Allison, the students participating in sports, and you were an athlete in high school, and other activities, should they be drug tested? You think why and why not? There's a lot of controversy surrounding that. What, you know, right now, the school board, the school district at one time had drug testing, but they decided to get rid of it to do more research. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's hard, because when I was a younger athlete, that was something that we never even thought of.
That's right.
I mean, our society has changed so much that drugs and alcohol are so prominent in everything. And they did do drug testing when I was in high school. It was kind of towards like the end, mm-hmm. but it was still
That's when
there.
They had it, sure.
Mm-hmm. And, man, I don't know. We definitely need to look into that, because unfortunately, we do have that stuff in our society. But at the same time, these athletes, like, they're dedicated and they're motivated. And so we'd hope that they're not using substances and stuff like that to help.
And the reason for that would be, you think, maybe to maybe get them in rehab sooner, you think? Or what, would think that would work? Would that be helpful?
Gosh, I don't even know on that. Honestly, that is a hard one. And I didn't really understand it much myself when I was in high school, just the way it was ran. I think we really need to look into that more and see what other states and districts are doing.
Looking at running, when you were looking at running for school board, Allison, you're trying to make a decision of what you wanted to do. Obviously, the thoughts ran through your head, and maybe one of those was what the role of a school board member is. In your opinion, what do you think the role of a school board member is or should be?
Right. No, a school board member is someone who works with the community, the teachers and the staff. And they're there to help the students improve in achievement in the public schools. I'm a school board member. Their main jobs is to hire a superintendent. We develop and adopt policies as school board members. We work on a curriculum, you work on a budget, and you oversee facility issues. The overall goal being on the school board, and what the school board has as the overall goal, is just the students and helping them achieve in college, technical schools, life, whatever it is that they decide that they want to do.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about this morning that you feel is a big issue that you would want to address or want to take the lead in if you were elected to school board? Anything that you, or any issues or any concerns maybe you have about our children's education in the Cody School District? Anything major that are they getting a good education? You complimented them earlier, saying that you really enjoyed your time in the district and thought you had a great education. Do you feel like it's at that quality today?
You know, I do. I see, with having a sibling still in there and see what he's learning and everything, they're still doing a great job. Things are definitely changing and will always change with curriculum and everything. One thing, though, and one reason I ran was, too, is you need that student perspective. And seeing, like, I saw what it was when I went through school, and then I'm seeing what it's like when my brother's going through it, and even some of the slight changes. Like, we need somebody who's gone out and been in college, so I know how it helped me and, like, what maybe could have been different, what it could have been more beneficial that the system did. But overall, I think they're doing a great job, and we can always just go up from here.
So you feel you would provide a fresh perspective of a student that went through the entire Cody School District and went to college, graduated, and now is back home. And you recently did that. So you kind of know what some of the expectations are of the kids in college and maybe incorporate that as a board member.
Correct.
Okay. Now, is there any goals you have as a school board member? Anything that you look back and say, you know, I'd like to accomplish this, this, and this if you're elected to this two-year term?
Man, no, not really. Overall, I just want to help the board run smoothly. Maybe bring a balance and that fresh perspective and just hope for the best.
So do you think this policy CK is something that you think is going to help secure the school better? Are there any other ideas of school security you think that should be, I guess, explored in addition to policy CK? Or do you think the way it's set up now will work pretty good?
You know, in our ever-changing society, I don't know if anything's ever perfect. One thing I would like us to look into, though, is maybe visiting with the resource officers, because they're the ones in the school day in and day out with these students. They know the ins and outs of that school, and they know what's going to be the best security for that area and what they've seen and different changes that can be made.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think a lot of people would like to have happen in the school system is to add more school resource officers. But of course, that's expensive, and the board's got to find, the state's got to find money to provide that. And Cody's got one now. So you think maybe working with that person more and trying to more interaction and finding out what they do and what needs to be done to secure the schools is the way to go.
Yeah, and the one we have now and even the ones we had before, I know it changes every, I think it's 3 years that a new one comes in. So if we go and talk to all of them that have been there throughout the years, because then we can see the progression and the change also in the safety and maybe concerns that they've had along the way, and we can work from that.
You know, I want to ask you, is there anything about the Cody School District and your years of school that you wish was different? Maybe there was a subject that wasn't offered. Maybe there was the way the curriculum was presented. I mean, maybe an activity that wasn't offered. Anything that you thought, if you were to say, okay, Allison, you just went through the Cody School System. What would you change or what would you add? Is there anything like that?
Oh man, I've never thought of that actually. I was pretty content and happy with my school experience and everything that I received there. Man, I don't know. Looking back now, I'm glad we had the semesters, the two ones.
Okay.
I look at that trimesters, and I don't know how much I like that. But so I'm glad I did have that.
What did you like most about? What are your biggest, memories in the extent where you think this is something that the school district should build on? I mean, what are some really plus sides of the Cody School District that you think that's not being recognized that, hey, we could build on this?
Yeah, I think one thing definitely is the teachers. I look back and I remember all my teachers. I remember all my elementary teachers.
They left the mark on you.
And they did, yeah. And it was very positive. And I still have fond memories of all of them and really enjoyed that. And so I think we should work from that too, because especially with all the morale issues that people are talking about. And as a student, what I saw was these fantastic teachers who took the time and they cared and were invested in my education.
And I don't know if you've heard this on your campaign trail. Are you on the campaign trail, so to speak? Are you out there campaigning a little bit here and there?
A little bit, yes.
A little bit here. Well, you know, it's funny because when they see someone like you, who's mm-hmm. you know, young, smart, energetic person, what do you do when they say, you're too young to be running for a school board? Have you heard that? Or what do you tell them when they say that?
I have not heard that yet. I'm expecting it, though, because a lot of people are always like, aren't you still in high school?
Oh, my goodness.
But no, you know, I don't know. You can't really be too young, I think. If you're out of high school and you've at least done a little bit outside of high school, I mean, right, fresh out might be a little too young. But after that, you know, I've experienced things. I don't think I'm too young. I think I have this different perspective that everyone else doesn't have, because I look at the board now and kind of go, how long has it been since you were in school?
Legitimate question. Absolutely, because times change.
Exactly.
I mean, and you know, funding changes, mm-hmm. Society changes. So honestly, your strengths, what you think, are the fact that you just came right out of the University of Wyoming. You feel that you could bring that perspective to the board.
I think so, yeah, because especially with the board focus being on the students and helping them in college and after school and everything, whether it's technical, military, or just the workforce, that's something that I just jumped out of was college, and now I'm in the workforce. And so having that perspective, I think, is very helpful, because I have that Park 6 knowledge. And so if our board is wanting to help those students, I think we need someone who's been through all of that.
You got about 30 seconds left, Allison. Anything you'd like to tell the voters out there in Cody and why they should elect you to the 2-year term on the Cody School Board?
Yeah, no, I'm just thankful for this opportunity, and I hope people go out and vote, because that's very important. And overall, just remember, a new perspective, I guess, and I'm young, but I'm willing to learn and I'm willing to work hard.
Again, I'll repeat what I said earlier in the program. I think it's wonderful that you know, you're right out of college and you're ready to jump right into the to running for elected office. And I wish you the best of luck, Allison. And thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and that will do it for Speak Your Piece. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.